Welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. If you'd like to talk to today's pro, just call 433-1433. That's 433-1433.
Yes, one of our most popular Ask the Pros, because it's a guy who really knows something about something and the outdoors. As a matter of fact, he knows everything about the outdoors. It's Mr. Bill Hiltz Jr. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Ron. I don't know about everything.
Well, I don't know if you prearranged. Sometimes you'll talk to people and say, call me on the show. We've got a call coming in, so you want to take that right off the bat?
No.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, here we go. Good morning. You're on with Bill Hiltz Jr. this morning on Ask the Pro.
Good morning. You had me a little worried there for a second. Sounded like I wasn't going to get on.
It sounds like Jesse.
It is. Jesse Lepak with New York Sea Grant. Hi, Bill.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am excellent. I've already been up doing my cardio, doing a little shoveling.
Yeah, me too.
Now, you have a big event coming up, and I want you to explain a little bit about it, because it's a first-time event, something that's never been done before, and it deals with information about the Lake Ontario sport fishery. What can you share with us, Jesse?
Sure, thanks. Well, yeah, that's right. We're calling it the Lake Ontario Fisheries Symposium, and it's going to be March 23rd in 2019. This is going to be the first year that we've offered this, and the theme of the symposium is going to be finding fish on the move.
And that sounds great. I think it's going to be in the Finger Lakes Mall, right?
That's right. So at the Finger Lakes Mall, again, March 23rd from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., we're offering an opportunity to learn any and all things about fish and fishing in Lake Ontario and its tributaries from experts around the region. We're offering about 10 educational seminars throughout the day, and we'll have question and answer sessions that follow those in the morning and afternoon. And then we've got a keynote speaker, Sylvia Ivanova, a PhD student with the Great Lakes Institute for Environmental Research out of the University of Windsor up in Canada. And she'll be coming down to talk to us about some of her research tracking salmon and lake trout in Lake Ontario.
So fish on the move, it refers to some of the technology that fisheries managers are utilizing in the Great Lakes, as well as fishermen looking to locate fish out there, salmon, trout, however, throughout the season.
Exactly. We're trying to cover everything from, you know, the latest and greatest scientific technology that is only not only available to anglers and the general public, but we're also going to have scientists and researchers coming in and talking about some of their scientific equipment. So we want to cover that, but also everything down to just intuition and simple finding fish, locations, access to fish along the southern shore of Lake Ontario and the tributaries.
Now, I think it's important to note that Finger Lakes Mall is in Auburn, in the Finger Lakes, but it's right where Bass Pro Shops is located. So, you know, you can knock off two birds with one stone, or two fish with one cast, so to speak, and you can visit the Bass Pro Shop there, which is a pretty nice store, and attend this fishery symposium.
That's the plan, yes. Bass Pro Shops is working with us on this, so we're going to be working hand-in-hand with them. You can come and take a tour of Bass Pro, see their fish displays, and again, we'll have a variety of different posters from fish managers and researchers around the area, and all kinds of different activities for young and old and novice and expert anglers alike.
So this is an event that's free of charge, but you do have to register, right?
That's right. It's free of charge. The event is going to be brought to you by the Lake Ontario Sport Fishing Promotion Council, the Finger Lakes Mall, Bass Pro Shops, and also New York Sea Grant. And the registration page can be found. You can get there from ilovenyfishing.com. and also through the Sea Grant webpage, www.nycsegrant.org/LO Sportfish, like Lake Ontario Sportfish.
So that first website that you mentioned, the ilovenyfishing.com, that's actually the website for that Lake Ontario Sport Fishing Promotion Council. And that council is made up of the eight counties along Lake Ontario, along the southern shore, New York, and also extending up into the St. Lawrence River. And each county works together to promote and market Lake Ontario as a destination. So they've been together since the early 1990s, and it's been a very effective group helping to promote these special resources that we have in Lake Ontario.
It's been great to work with the group, and this symposium definitely wouldn't be happening without their help, so we really appreciate it.
Now, I see that you have Chris Lagarde with DEC. He's the Lake Ontario Unit Leader, and he's going to be giving a little bit of information on Lake Ontario history. And you also have Dmitry Gorski with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service talking about fish on the move. He's been doing quite a bit of research here locally. He's with the Lower Great Lakes Fish and Wildlife Conservation Offices over at the Iroquois National Wildlife Refuge, which is real close to here in Lockport. And he's done a lot of research in the Lower Niagara River and out into Lake Ontario, so that's always an interesting presentation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. And we've got a great lineup. Again, everything from fisheries history, Lake Ontario and the tributaries, how we kind of got to the world-class fishery that we have in Lake Ontario today, finding and accessing fish, what to do when you do find them and access them, and a little bit about why fish are moving, how they respond to different water temperatures, different food resources, things that change throughout the season when they're spawning or not, those kinds of things. And we'll even be hearing a little bit about how to clean and prepare fish towards the end of the day before our keynote speaker tells us more about king salmon and lake trout.
Well, that all sounds great, Jesse. Appreciate all the hard work you did putting this together, and hopefully it'll be a big success. Why don't you give those websites again for people to register?
Sure. Give the websites again. This is, again, the Lake Ontario Fisheries Symposium, March 23rd, 2019, at the Finger Lakes Mall. You can register at ilovenyfishing.com. or www.nycgrant.org/LO Sportfish.
Well, that's great. Now, how about a little plug for the State of Lake Erie meeting? I understand you're going to be the point person now for future State of Lake Erie meetings, taking over for Helen Domsky.
Yes, that's right. So the annual New York Sea Grant State of Lake Erie meeting is going to be held on Thursday, April 11th, 2019, this year from 7 to 9 p.m., and that's going to be at Southtown's Walleye Association Clubhouse, and that's 5895 Southwestern Boulevard in Hamburg, New York.
Yeah, that's always a great presentation. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it this year, to be honest, because I might be out of town, but if you have any interest in the Lake Erie sport fishery, this is always a great evening, because they usually have DEC, Jim Markham, and Dr. Jason Robinson on the stage for updates on walleye, perch, what's happening with steelhead, all the different programs and projects that DEC is involved with over there with that Lake Erie unit. And it's a lot of good stuff, especially with the fishery that's presenting itself as far as walleye are concerned. They had another great hatch out there in Ohio in 2018, and it looks like the numbers of walleye are near an all-time high.
Yeah, it's looking good out there, and we're excited to hear from both Jim and Jason with DEC on the cold water fisheries and the warm water fisheries out there. And this event is done in partnership with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, so we're really happy to have those speakers, and also in cooperation with New York State Assembly Member Sean Ryan, and of course, Southtown's Walleye Association of Western New York.
And you're going to be giving a presentation, too, on barotrauma in Lake Erie, focusing on yellow perch, but, you know, it could apply to other fish species, I'm sure, too. What is barotrauma?
Sure. So barotrauma, if you haven't heard, is, and maybe you've seen it and didn't know exactly what it was, but if you're reeling in fish quickly, you know, particularly from deeper waters, they can experience, it's a drop in pressure, and their swim bladder, which helps them keep their orientation in the water, can expand. And the barotrauma is actually the tissue damage from that that gas expansion. So that can cause things like bulging eyes, if you've ever seen that. It's called exophthalmia in fish. Things like an inverted stomach. You might see a stomach coming out of a fish's mouth, and that's being displaced by that that swim bladder. So some concerned anglers and managers approached me about learning a little bit more on barotrauma, especially in Lake Erie yellow perch. On the east side, New York waters, we've got a lot of deep yellow perch water that's fishable, so barotrauma can be an issue there. So what we did was put together a workshop that was held in October, this past October, and I'll be summarizing some of the findings and discussions that we had there and talking a little bit more about barotrauma to the group that I initially presented about last year at the State of Lake Erie meeting.
Well, that all sounds great. That's going to be on April 11th at the Southtown Walleye Clubhouse out in Hamburg. And appreciate all the information, Jesse, and all the hard work that you've been doing with New York Sea Grant.
Thanks. Oh, you bet. Appreciate
your
call.
Thanks for having me. And call anytime. We're on once a month here with Bill Hiltz, and we've got two calls waiting to talk to Bill. Good morning. You're on with Bill Hiltz, Jr.
Hey, Bill. Mike Delisco calling you. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm great, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm heading northward.
It sounds like you're on the road.
I am.
Well, you're going to be coming up here shortly because next week is the Western New York Sport and Travel Expo, right?
Yes. And hopefully I'll try to bring the warm weather like I did last year. We'll see what happens going into next week. But, yeah, next week, actually this week it kicks off at the Erie Sport and Travel Show in Erie, PA. And then when that's finished up on Sunday, I head over to West New York for some appearances and promos and some fun stuff during the week. And then the West New York Sport and Travel Expo Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So that Sport and Travel Expo, that's going to be at the Hamburg Fairgrounds again. And it's always a popular event here in Western New York. We also know that spring is just around the corner then usually. Hopefully the past doesn't haunt us again because we've also had storms associated with that Western New York Sport and Travel Expo. And we don't like to see that.
No, I don't like to see it either, being from the south. So I'm gonna try everything I can to make the weather good. And if I remember correctly, it was in the 40s and 50s last year, a few of them days. So I'll see if I can make it happen again.
Well, I certainly hope so. Now, you had mentioned something about promotions. Don't you have those coloring contest promotions out at Texas Roadhouse again?
Yes, we're doing just about the same thing that we did last year. It's kind of a really fun event for the kids to get involved with. And, you know, and I'm sure the kids know when they go to these types of shows like the West New York Sport and Travel Expo that they have a trout pond, which, you know, the kids can go fish in. Well, the guys at the show came up with a pretty cool contest the last few years that, you know, we're going to have a coloring contest. And there's actually a couple of different ways that you can enter, I believe, from their website, but you can also win a chance to be a coloring contest at Texas Roadhouse, both the Tonawanda and the Cheektowaga locations by coloring my coloring sheet, and then I'm going to judge, and we're going to pick a couple of winners, I believe two from each location, and they're going to get to go to the show Saturday morning before it opens and compete in an invitation-only trout fishing contest and win prizes and such for for them to fish during the day. So it's a really cool little deal. And I believe this year the grand prize is the Scallywag Pirate Ship in Erie, Pennsylvania, which is a pretty cool grand prize to catch some trout.
Yeah, it is. And I remember when you did this last year, it was extremely popular. And I think also on Saturday, like the first 100 kids through the doors at the show will receive a children's cane fishing pole and a Texas Roadhouse kids coupon meal, right?
Yes, something that I also started to do last year. We've got these really cool cane fishing poles, which are very user-friendly. Fairly tangle-free and fairly snag-free from the trees because there's... That's right. It's the old-fashioned cane pole, and they have a hook, a bobber, and fishing line attached, and put them together, keep them in your vehicle. The kids want to, you know, go fish all of a sudden, and you've got an instant fishing pole right there. Plus, they get a tear-off kids' meal for Texas Roadhouse that they can take with them and have something to eat. So pretty good all around.
Yeah, you know, a lot of us started out with those cane poles, and they certainly are a lot of fun.
Where I'm at now. Exactly.
Yeah, for exactly. Sure. Here you are, a professional bass fisherman, and now you're reached the pinnacle, so to speak, after starting with fishing with a cane pole. So that's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. And I like doing it. The kids love it, and you know, it makes me happy to you know, get them a fishing pole and see maybe that, you know, it's the first time that they've ever fished, and that's going to be what they start with. And who knows, they might be in my shoes someday. So it's all good, and great way to promote fishing to the youngsters.
So I will see you on Monday. We're going to tape a show for the Outdoor Beat and try to get that up as soon as possible to try to promote those special events you have coming up. So good luck with those promotions, and good luck with Western New York Sport and Travel Expo, Mike.
Looking forward to that, and I will be at both stores, Tonawanda and Cheektowaga, Tuesday and Wednesday from 6 p.m. Cheektowaga's first day, Tonawanda's second day. Come on, visit with me, color my coloring picture, and maybe you'll get to go to the fishing derby at the Western New York Sport Travel Expo.
Well, sounds good. Appreciate the call in, Mike, and good luck.
Thank you very much, caller. And we've got another call just waiting to talk to Bill, very patiently waiting. Good morning. You're on with Bill Hill.
Hi there, Ron. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
How you doing, Mary?
Well, hey, Ron, it was good to see you down at the book sale. And, boy, that venison chili was delicious.
I had the sausage, and it was delicious, too.
And I picked up a book called The Eagle's Heart by Hamlin Garland, published in 1900. And let me tell you, it is the granddaddy of Westerns. And my daughter looked it up on eBay, and it's been selling for like $85 a copy.
Should I tell everybody you got it for a quarter?
You just did.
I guess. Nice profit margin.
Hey, yesterday was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Last year I got a... Well, thanks. A year ago, I got a Ruger 22. Oh, it's a pretty one. It's silver and black with, you know, the polymer stock, so it's lightweight. And for Christmas, I got a Barska scope from my son-in-law. And this year, for my birthday, he gave me a bucket of bullets. 1,400 22 bullets, and Shootin' Hoot is going to have an event on March 9th, it's a Saturday, at 12:30 for the safety talk, and they shoot from 1 until 3, and the address of this event is going to be 3355 Niagara Falls Boulevard. Bill, I bet you know the name of that facility.
It's Niagara Gun Range.
indoor range.
Yes, out in. I'm not sure if that's North Tonawanda or Wheatfield there, but it's on Niagara Falls Boulevard.
Yeah, and I think it's like north of the Wurlitzer complex.
Yes, I believe right down the road a short ways from there, and it's on the north side of Niagara Falls Boulevard. And you had mentioned the time as 1 to 3, but I think you need to be there by 12:30 because they have a safety talk at that time, don't they?
Yes.
So, and you need to register in advance, too. They like to have people registered, I think, for this one by March 5th. And give Colleen Gaskill a call at 628-9023 for more information. How does that sound?
You're right on the ball.
And that's BYOB, right? Bring your own bullets. And you're going to yours?
No, actually, the bullets are supplied by a grant from the NRA.
Yeah, I think it's through the Friends of the NRA, through that banquet that they have every year, which I think is the end of April this year. And through the Friends of the NRA, they have a grant that helps support the Ladies Shoot and Hoot program and provides all the ammunition for all your events, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff for getting the ladies out there and doing a little shooting and hooting.
And we also have rifles and shotguns, of course. But we have rifles that we can loan people if they don't have their own guns.
As far as the 22s are concerned?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a fun time, and that is one of the fastest growing areas as far as the shooting sports is concerned, the ladies. So we like to see the ladies out there having some fun, and it's not just adults. I think some of the younger kids can get involved too, isn't it, 12 and up?
That's correct.
Well, all good stuff, Mary. We appreciate the information and you calling every month to promote those events.
And if you go, ladies, if you go, please take your earmuff type protection because it gets loud in those indoor ranges.
Ear protection and eye protection, too. Both are important whenever you're involved
Absolutely.
With the shooting sports, yes. Yes, well, very much appreciated, Mary, and good luck with your event coming up. Colleen Gaskill is the person to contact at 628-9023, and your event is on March 9th out at the Niagara Gun Range on Niagara Falls Boulevard in either North Tonawanda or Wheatfield.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in.
Just listen for the hooting and the shooting, and you'll get there, right, Mary?
Bye now.
And a happy belated birthday to you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, you take care now.
So long.
Okay. Speaking of indoor ranges, I don't know how many people know that in the basement of the old Newfane High School, which is now the middle school, there was a shooting range in the basement there.
Well, I know that there are quite a few high schools in Western New York that participate in different kinds of shooting sports activities.
This was probably, I'm going to say, in the 60s, early 60s, that they, and I think it faded out in the by the late 60s, but there was one down there, and they taught riflery as a course, and probably in the days of Mr. Bly or Mr. Shavaro or something like that. So anyway, just a little inside Newfane information there. Now, talk about information. We've got a lull in the calls, and I see you have piles of things that you want to talk about today.
Well, there's just a lot of different things coming up. And like Jesse Lepak, when he called earlier, there he was talking about different meetings. There is a State of Lake Ontario meeting that's going to be coming up next week. And we just received the information from DEC. That meeting is going to be next Thursday, March 7th, from 6:30 to 9 out at Cornell Cooperative Extension. That's on Lake Avenue, which is also referred to as Route 78, and in Lockport here. And it's important to attend these meetings because the fisheries biologists that make the decisions for managing the lake are the ones that are putting on the programs. And it'll be DEC and probably some people from USGS, which is U.S. Geological Survey. And they'll be talking about the forage base, what the status is, how things happened in 2018 as far as the Open Lake Creel Census. They'll probably talk a little bit about the tributaries. One of the things they may talk about is how things went as far as the proposed fishing regulations changes. Today is the deadline for making comments on these regulations changes. And I just want to go over them real quick. What they are, four main ones that affect Lake Ontario and affect the fishermen that fish out of Niagara County here. One is they want to extend the lake trout season by a month in the lower Niagara River and Lake Ontario. Right now, the lake trout season is from January 1st to September 30th. They want to allow for an extra month of fishing, the whole month of December, just like you can on the Canadian side of the river. And originally I had sent a note in to DEC asking them to consider a catch and release season for October, November, and December. Well, they turned around and changed that for a regular season for 1 month. And go on the DEC website, dec.ny.gov, and you can find out more about these. They want to reduce the creel limit for brown trout in the tributaries from 3 to 1. They want to create an increased minimum size on steelhead in the streams. Instead of 21 inches, they want to make it 25 inches, they being some of the proponents for stream fishing. And the fourth change that they're proposing is to reduce the creel for rainbow trout and steelhead in Lake Ontario from 3 fish to 2 fish. So those are all being discussed, and they'll probably give a little overview at that meeting. It starts at 6:30 p.m. out at Cornell Cooperative Extension Niagara on March 7th. So hopefully we'll see you out there.
All right, Bill, we have another call. Good morning. You're on with Bill Hiltz Jr. this morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey,
Dale. Dale.
Good morning. Just calling on trying to promote the Niagara County Federation of Conservation Clubs awards banquet, which is coming up April 6th at Cornell Cooperative Extension. Tonight we'll be doing the food. Tickets are $35 for individuals. And it's the awards annual awards banquet where we give awards to hunter-ed instructors, conservationists, and other people that are involved in the outdoor sports. And we definitely need some nominations sent in. And tickets are available through Dave Witt. I'm not sure what his number is. Bill's probably has it there.
I do not have it because I haven't seen any of the information promoting that banquet. But you say it's April 6th. We haven't, normally we would issue some type of a press release on who those winners are, but today, which is February 28th, we're looking at the deadline for submitting nominations for people to be considered. And like you were saying, Dale, this is an important event because you're recognizing the people that are getting the work done, the grassroots support that the conservation movement receives. So we have, you know, Sports Person of the Year and the Club of the Year, Youth of the Year. The Pinky Robinson Memorial Award is for dedication to Great Lakes fisheries. So we always have some great nominations, and then the committee selects who the winners are for that particular year, which we're honoring people from 2018. And it's a great time. we need to see nominations from the various clubs. We got 27, 28 different clubs here in Niagara County, and everybody could be nominating a potential winner for these awards, and then they're all honored at the banquet that we're going to be having out at or Cornell Cooperative Extension. So, and you do a great job, Dale. You were one of our big winners last year. You were, I think, the Oliver Jones Memorial Award winner last year, weren't you?
I believe so.
I believe so.
Yeah, fess up. You were it. You were the best.
Oh, come on, Dale.
I can't keep track anymore. As far as the different organizations that I represent and I'll belong to and try to keep track and give reports back to for a lot of them for the to the six counties within my region that I'm sort of overseeing. But you know, we try to do our best at what we do because we enjoy doing it, whether it's with CFAB or Fish and Wildlife Management Board or NWTF or teaching hunter education. We enjoy doing it, and that's what most of us sportsmen do. We get involved with organizations because we enjoy doing it.
And I think you had them when you said Donna Ike.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, for sure.
My wife and I were the two, we set the banquet up this year, and only the best food in the county.
Maybe in the state.
Correct. You guys have a good day, Dale.
Okay, Dale, before you go, I just want to make a quick question. You know, you sit on that Conservation Fund Advisory Board in Albany representing Region 9 here in West New York, and there's been an awful lot of stuff coming through the Assembly and Senate in Albany. And you know, some of them are new gun laws. Some of them are trying to do away with things like gun raffles, and even doing away with any type of a derby or tournament or competition. They say wildlife, but that doesn't mean that fish isn't also part of that. Have you guys had any discussions on how that might impact the whole conservation movement, hunting and fishing in New York State?
Definitely any of the gun laws are impacting because who's going to go out with as restrictive as they're getting, go out and get involved in hunting and buying firearms and stuff when every time you turn around there are new gun laws. And I know there's a bill out there that, you know, they're wanting everybody to get $1 million liability policy if you own a firearm. And, you know, stuff like that, you know, I was just discussing that with somebody this morning that, you know, our hunter numbers are down. We discussed about youth license sales are down. And these new perspective proposed gun laws, you know, are a deterrent. And when you don't have new people coming into the sporting community, what happens is when they're not buying licenses, there's less money coming into the conservation fund, and there's less money there for us to manage the wildlife and basically still have control over the sportsmen having control over managing the wildlife. Because as long as there's more conservation fund money coming in to the Fish and Wildlife Division than there is general fund money, the sportsmen still have somewhat of a say of how the Fish and Wildlife Division is run.
Yeah, it has to be a serious concern with what's been happening here these last couple months. And, you know, I don't know where it's going to all end up, but, you know, I think we're in trouble in a lot of different areas.
Well, we're talking. We haven't got the final figures yet, but we're liable to the conservation fund by midsummer. It's liable to be in the red before we get the influx of license dollars.
Well, Dale,
sales in the fall.
We'll let you go handle that in Albany and take care of it. I know you are the voice of wisdom.
All right, you guys take care.
Okay.
I gotta run.
Thank you, Dale.
Take care, Dale. Bye-bye. We're on the line with somebody else this morning. It's your turn, and it's Bill Hiltz on this end.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I heard on recently on the TV news that the Lake Ontario water level is higher. I think it was Todd you know, the chief meteorologist on Channel 4. Have you heard anything like this? Like two years ago, you know how they flooded over the piers. Are we going to have that in the spring or summer? Have you heard anything?
Yes, we have heard something. The water levels are up. I've heard as high as 16, 17 inches above the normal long-term average for this time of year. And then another alarming concern is that the upper Great Lakes are also up. So eventually that water has to come down through the system, and it ends up in Lake Ontario and the St. Lawrence Seaway. Whether we're going to end up with another situation like we had 2 years ago, you know, that's hard to predict. You know, there's so many different factors that come into play, but they are releasing a record amount of water for this time of year. Again, they're limited on how much they can do because of where that water's going. You know, they can't release too much water because of things like Montreal that sits on the St. Lawrence River before it heads out into the ocean. And you know, if we have, you know, a wet spring, we could end up with similar conditions or a similar situation that we had in 2017. So we're keeping our eye on that for sure. Fortunately, many of the local marinas and launch ramps that were impacted by that have addressed some of those issues. For example, the Wilson Tuscarora State Park, they're in the process of renovating their whole launch ramp area and installing a floating dock system that boats would be able to utilize. They've made some corrective measures over at Fort Niagara State Park. Bootleggers Cove Marina down in Wilson, they actually raised the level of their marina by another 2-3 feet and installed floating docks to potentially address any high water level concerns. So
at least they're getting that heads up. At least they're releasing some now, not waiting to the last minute.
Yes, which is important. You know, they need to release that.
I don't think they did that a couple years ago.
You know, I don't think they did either, because I think they were kind of caught between a rock and a hard place when all of a sudden, you know, we had the wet spring, water came down from the upper Great Lakes. You know, that lower Niagara River, it's the highest that I've ever seen it. That fishing platform attached to the New York Power Authority, that was underwater. The bench was underwater, which, you know, incredible how much water was coming down through that system.
Well, you think they could use more of that water, generate more electricity?
Well, you know, I think they were probably at max capacity. You know, they didn't know what to do with all the water. So,
well, at least they're addressing it. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But according to a press release that I just recently received, they are at a record level for this time of year as far as releasing it. They're getting rid of as much water as they possibly can, and hopefully we don't encounter the same situation we did 2 years ago.
Well, thank you very much, caller. And we have two callers waiting and about 5 minutes to go, so we're going to go right back to the phones and say good morning. You're on with Bill Hiltz, Jr.
How you doing?
Good.
I just got a quick question. I moved out to the southern part of Lockport, and pretty far back in the woods is, I think it's Mud Creek. That makes sense.
Yeah, that sounds. Are you talking like near the Tonawanda Creek area?
Yeah, more towards the Raymond Road area, but I guess it runs into Tonawanda Creek. Mud Creek does, right?
You know, I'm not absolutely positive, but it could very well. I mean, they're pretty close together.
Okay, so here's my question: what kind of fish do you think I might catch out this way? Do you have any clue out towards the Mud Creek and Tonawanda end? I mean, because Tonawanda Creek seems to end right there, and then it changes over to something else. Mud Creek, I guess. But
well, if in fact it does connect to Tonawanda Creek, anything that you see in the canal, you have the potential to see in Mud Creek, and if I'm not mistaken, somebody was just telling me about some big carp that they've caught in Mud Creek. There's probably walleye, there's probably northern pike, you know, those type of fish that you might normally see in Tonawanda Creek or the Erie Canal. You know, if they're all connected, you know, you can find those, especially during spawning time. Like you might
see. I'm only about a quarter of a mile from Tonawanda Creek in Millersport. And it's, you know, and the creek comes around that way. So I was like, you know, fishing this spring might be pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I would definitely check it out. You know, things like walleye and carp that spawn in the spring, you know, they'll try to migrate up as far as they can and find those preferred areas and do their thing and then get right back out of there again.
Thanks.
Sounds like you're going to be a little busy there,
thanks,
Steve.
For the call.
Thanks for calling. You're on next with Bill Hiltz, Jr. We've got a couple minutes for your call.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
I just got a quick question. What did they do in Montreal and up on the other end of the St. Lawrence before we put that dam in the 50s?
What did they do?
Yeah.
You know,
we made the mess.
Sure, sure. And you know, I know that they have had flooding problems in the past, and I think that dam was supposed to help control that. But
I think the dam was all for power.
Yes. There are some situations that you don't see discussed, but, you know, to help address the potential problem of high water, they had diversionary canals that they could help release more water, and they never used it. So since that time, it's turned into more of housing developments in those diversionary canal areas, and now they can't use them anymore. So they're just making the matters worse. And you're absolutely right. You know, a lot of these problems I don't think we've ever seen before. Mother Nature would just take care of itself. And we've hampered the systems with the different dams, again, for power, try to utilize them. Look at Burt Dam there. I mean, how much power does it really generate? And it would really open up some great fishing areas if that dam wasn't there. But we're stuck with it now.
Thank you very much, caller. We're out of time for today, but call back next time. Okay.
And if I'm still on...
I just want to say,
Elena and Giselle, I hope you enjoy the snow. My granddaughters are up from Florida. They're living here now, and this is the first snowstorm they've been able to go out and have fun with. So enjoy yourselves out there.
Snow is enjoyable, especially the first time. Bill, we'll see you next time.
Okay, Ron. Thank you.
You bet.